All right, I'm going to give everybody a chance to pop on in here. Going to give you guys just a moment to pop on in here, everybody else to get a chance to get back on Zoom. Of course they were going to go down tonight. We're about to get every time, and it's on my, I'm wondering if they're watching me through my computer and they know what we're about to talk about. Because every time I talk about something good or I'm about to get into something good, this does this. So if you guys can hear me, just give me a 5-5. Jeff's in here. Thank you so much. Jeff's in here. Steve popping back in here right now. I'm going to wait for him to come in here, and then we're going to get in nitty gritty. Steve, your audio is connected. All right, man. I'm glad I told you about this possibility before we started the show, man.
Yeah.
Every time, man, we're about to get into something good, man, it does this.
Yeah, Jeff jumped off. He was going to jump in bed, and I'm going to give him a call later this week, next week.
I was, but the Lord told me to come back, so I'm back.
Awesome.
There he is.
Exactly. So
I don't know how long, but I'll sit with you guys as long as I can. Have at it, Mr. Duncan.
Awesome. So let's get into a little bit of this conversation we're going to get into here. So this is kind of going along with the eclipse. And I'm gonna start you off, first off, about what kind of brought me into this rabbit hole that I dug into last night. So as you guys know, my feeling on, quote, prophets is I'm not one to just go around and be like, okay, that's a prophet. I'm going to listen to every word they say. But I will entertain some people that prophesy, that have visions that are, you know, that are somewhat accurate. You know what I'm saying? The ones that aren't always just throwing stuff out. They're trying to make money or whatever. One of those people specifically we all know is Kim Clement. You know, like I said, you know how I feel about, you know, prophets in general, but some of the things that he said was pretty interesting. And I came across this particular video last night that was done recently. It was a preacher, and he had Kim Clement's daughter on the show with him. And he goes, look, I want to play something for you that was from your father that came back from 2013. So this is a good long time ago. So what he did is the first thing that he said was pay attention to the end of the 50-year jubilee. So the 50-year jubilee ended. It ended in January 21st, 2024. So this year is when the 50-year jubilee ended. So going on from that, he said, now pay attention to that date, and then pay attention to 70 to 100 days past that. So you do a little bit of math, and that time period, that elapse of days falls right on Pentecost, which is May 19th of this year, okay? So pretty interesting stuff right there. And then he said, resurrection, resurrection, resurrection. And he repeated that three times. So he was referring to Easter, which is this Sunday, March 31st. This is where it gets kind of crazy. This is why I dug into the rabbit hole, is because he said that there would be an end to the pythos. The pythos would end, would cease to exist, and would be destroyed. So I'm like, okay, what does he mean by that? What is pythos? So I went and looked up pythos. So this isn't scriptural. This is some theology. I guess they get in looking at different lines of like demons and, you know, that kind of stuff. So this is theology that I'm talking here, not scriptural. But he said pythos. So I looked up pythos, and a pythos is a particular type of demon. So I guess like angels, how they've got their seraphim and their archangels and so forth, demons have their hierarchies and their jobs too. So a pythos specifically, representing the python, was meant the demons that basically squeeze men and women. They squeeze God's people. They squeeze the people of earth, filling them with deception, causing doubt in their faith, pushing fear, anxiety, and stress. So this is what the pythos represents, which he said would be destroyed on that day. And he said that it would, you know, that we would, there would be a huge thing that took place between then, March 31st, Easter, and then Pentecost, which is, like I said, May 19th. So the interesting thing is that the eclipse falls between Pentecost and Easter. And then between the eclipse and Pentecost falls Passover. So the Passover falls into that time. Now, we're hearing a lot about the red heifers that are up for being sacrificed. And right now they're saying that it's going to happen sometime between Good Friday, which is today, and Passover, which this year I believe is like April 18th or April 19th or 20th, somewhere right around there. But it's basically like just past mid-April. So the interesting that the dates fall on this. So what really caught my eye, how did I jump down this rabbit hole? Because of the mention of Pythos, I immediately was like, wait a minute. Didn't CERN just open up doing something, and they're opening up some new portal, doing some different thing they normally do with a different kind of speed and hadron collisions in order to pull dark matter and stuff like this. So we, you know, my theory on that is they're basically pulling in dark spirits and so forth. Dark matter, in my opinion, are demons and spirits. So then I'm going to go over to the thing about NASA that I talked about. This is where it gets really crazy. So I told you the other day that they're going to be launching, that NASA is going to be launching 3 rockets into the shadow of the eclipse on April 8th, so during the eclipse time, which is an interesting day, especially because CERN also goes live on the same exact day, April 8th. So here we go. I went through and I was looking more into the NASA, all the specifics about it. So although the operation is called Operation Serpent Deity, the mission is called Atmospheric Perturbations Around Eclipse Path, also known as APEP, APEP, all right? So the acronym was chosen because the APEP is also the name of a serpent god from ancient Egypt cosmology who pursued the son of God Ra, and every so often nearly consumed him, resulting in an eclipse. Specifically, the reason this battle took place was he was trying to remove light and conceal truth. So now I want you to think about the name once again of this being, the mission is called APEP, and then the operation is called Serpent Deity, which falls right here on the eclipse. And remember that the whole mythology behind this, the Egyptian mythology, specifically was this war of them trying to remove light and conceal truth. So then I went a little bit further. I was like, all right, I'm going to go look up APEP and see what more I can find about this. APEP is an Egyptian. It's also called Apophis, okay? APOPHIS. And I'm like, okay, that sounds familiar. Did I not remember seeing something like that in scripture? So I typed in Apophis scripture. This is what I came up with. In the Bible, Apophis is also known as wormwood, which is an angel or a star that appears in the book of Revelation. So what in the heck is NASA doing? And I mean, and as I said to Jeff, like, we don't know what's coming from this, but there's a point where you can no longer deny the spiritual significance as to what's going on with absolutely everything lining up in the craziest ways. So then a little bit further, I'm like, okay, well, let me go back and look more at the details of the eclipse. So I went through, I sourced in 5 different places to see how long the eclipse was going to last in certain areas. So in every area, the eclipse will last exactly 4 minutes and 28 seconds, all right? 4 minutes and 28 seconds. How is that relevant? Well, I'm going to go to the King James Version of the Bible right here. That's for Jeff. Jeremiah 4:28. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. So here we go, literally mentions, and the heavens above be black, which was ultimately kind of like an eclipse scenario, falling on Jeremiah 4:28, which are the exact time period that these are supposed to last, right along with the fact that it enters land at 12 o'clock on the afternoon, exits at 3:16, leaves the United States at exactly 3:16, as in, you know, we all know the John 3:16. And then if you go back in the scripture and you look at when Christ was on the cross, it literally says that the sun disappeared, or then darkness came upon at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and it didn't come back until after 3. You know what I'm saying? So like I said, there's a whole lot of weird little connections that fall right into this. And it just, every time we think that we have found any kind of similarities within this, they just keep on coming. So
yeah.
I'd love to hear both of your thoughts on that, because you know, like I said the other day, I always go and see what the Christians are saying first. And I can't find a Christian in the world that I've come across that doesn't see this as, you know, signs and wonders. You know, like it says that I will give you no signs. Basically, you don't deserve the signs to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But I will give you except for the sign of Jonah the prophet. And then all the different things that line up with Jonah as well. And then remember before Jonas went to Nineveh, remember he didn't want to listen to God. He was like, nah, man, those guys can't be saved. So he headed another direction. And you know, what did he do? He sent a big giant fish from the sea, a big whale that just gulped them up. And he spent how many days in the belly of the whale? It was 3 days in darkness, correct? Which ultimately was a symbolism for the 3 days that are coming up right now, where Christ died on the cross and descended into hell and then came back up 3 days. So that would be 3 days of darkness. So I'm hearing a lot of people talk about the 3 days of darkness, and I understand how it fits into the whale's belly. I understand how it fits into Christ after he left the earth, descended, and then came back up to the earth 3 days later. But then I found this. What does a 3 day of darkness mean right now? Well, I'm going to tell you scientifically. April 5th, 6th, and 7th, the 3 days that are leading up to this eclipse, the moon is going to be out of sight. We will not be able to see the moon for 3 days in the Western Hemisphere. The moon is going to be out of sight. So there's your 3 days of darkness.
Wow.
I know, man. That's pretty impressive. This is 4 o'clock in the morning, rabbit holes.
As much as you told me the amount of work you had to do, I'm surprised you were able to do all that rabbit hole.
Oh, this was all last night because I got most of that stuff done. I was literally in the middle of a conversation with Tam, and all of a sudden I'm like gone because I fell so deep into this hole. And then every time I'm like, oh my goodness, and that, oh my goodness, and that. And then I typed in, Googled in 428. Because I didn't know the Jeremiah 428, but I typed in 428 and then I piped in eclipse, darkness, and a couple of other keywords. And then Jeremiah 428 popped up immediately.
Nice.
So,
you know, you could also read, you know, I was telling you today, I went back there and looked that up. If you read in Amos chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, could kind of tie into what you just talked about a little bit too. It talks about wormwood in there.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so I mean, is this coincidence? Yeah, I mean, anybody can speculate anything, but personally me, you know my feelings. I don't think it's coincidental. I honestly believe this is a sign from God. To what extent, I don't think anybody really knows, but look at everything that's being shown. I mean, you got Nineveh, you got Salem, you got the 428, you got wormwood involved, you've got 3 days of darkness. They're saying the moon's going to be out of sight for 3 days. I mean, what's it going to take for people?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at. What's it going to take?
Like, I think Matt says, wake up and repent. You know, it can't go wrong with that. Steve, what do you got to say about this, brother?
You know, I'm no theologian, so my reference point is minimal compared to someone like Jeff. But you know, my gut feeling, my inner voice tells me that there's more meaning coming out of this for some reason, and the timing is so relevant today that of both sides. So the enemy's looking at this and at their way, and we're looking at it in an angelic way of looking for the signs and the numbers and what means what. And I think there's more people looking at this eclipse than I've seen in previous eclipses.
Yes.
I've seen so many, you know, 'cause I'm more on Facebook than anything, 'cause my family is pretty big, but I see a lot of people posting stuff about this, and that's a first for me. It's the talk of not of just this country, but it's a talk around the world. They're talking about this eclipse for some reason.
There's other countries right now that I came across today that are also preparing emergency declarations for this. I mean, like other side of the world kind of stuff that won't have anything to do with this. You know,
right.
People have their ideas to where it's going. You know, Christian in training says, you know, I'm with Jeff, and we don't know the time of rapture. We don't know. We do not know the time that Christ is coming back. None of us do. And I completely 100%, I don't feel like this is necessarily rapture time, but at the very least it falls into the Jonah thing. It's like, you know, I'm going to give you another chance to repent. Like, we don't deserve it, but at the very least, you know, I feel like, especially because exactly 40 days after this eclipse is Pentecost. You know what I'm saying? So that's like literally 40 days, you know? So it's an interesting timing of that. And I do believe what this is a chance to get us all to wake up and repent again. You know, I've never felt like this was rapture time, but I don't know. None of us do. Christ doesn't know. But I do feel like at the very least, it's a wake up time at the very least for America, because man, we've fallen away. You know, there's a lot of people now, you ask them, where's Mystery Babylon? They're like, it's the United States of America. Well, I don't know if that would be the case, because I thought Mystery Babylon was a city. But New York, that would be fitting. So California, in some places too.
Well, you got to remember too, there's a spirit.
The spirit of Babylon. Yes.
Okay, so it doesn't have to necessarily be a literal place at this moment in time in history, if you would. But definitely, I would say the spirit is upon us, okay?
Yeah.
I think we all can kind of...
The Jezebel.
And I like what Steve said there, you know, looking through it in a spiritual context, a spiritual mind. I have to agree with that, because I think so many people are looking at things through a carnal, a worldly mind kind of perspective. And that's kind of where we're all erring in a lot of, you know, in a lot of ways and a lot of things, is because we're not getting in God's word. We're not praying like we should. And we're all guilty of it. I mean, that's just human nature, if you would, but we need to be more spiritually inclined, you know?
Yes. We definitely need to. And I think, you know, this hopefully will be an awakening. That's what I pray at the very least, that people not waste this opportunity. And, you know, that's for us. It's like, you know, at the very least, like what is the eclipse for us? It's time to work harder than we ever have before. You know what I'm saying? Like, if God gave us a 40-day repentance, this is the chance for us to get out and do a little bit of work. You know, worst case scenario is the best case scenario. We lead a couple of people over to Jesus and they had that chance. Yeah. So, but it's, like I said, nonetheless, it's very interesting nonetheless. Jeff and I talked about this earlier. I'm just excited, maybe a little impatient. I'm like, come on, man, get here already.
Mm-hmm.
I want April 8th already.
Yeah, I know.
Right. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the show.
I know you said pull out the popcorn. Well, I've got my corn pop popcorn, the Joe Biden popcorn, corn pop popcorn.
Think about it. What are you going to do to prevent it?
Oh, nothing. But I'm going to be sitting out in a lawn chair.
At this point, all you can do is pray and repent, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so there's no sense in being scared. I mean, it is what it is. You got to get yourself together.
And somebody told me,
where does Kentucky fall on the eclipse line?
95%. 95% totality. So we are like literally.
See, I live in Alaska. We got 0%.
Yeah. Well, I would say I'll film it for you. But apparently we're going to be overcast here. They already seem to know that we're going to be overcast here on that day. But someone asked me, wow, that's got to suck, man. Here you are. You're getting this like mostly totality and you can't even see it. And I'm like, I'll be honest with you. I'm less interested in the event than I am the outcome.
Hey, I think the truth, I don't think it's as much seeing it as what you're going to feel.
That's what I'm saying is it doesn't matter.
Talking about that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We have a storm.
You know, looking up here at the sky and seeing this. Well, you got to understand something. The sun and the moon both have gravitational pull on things that happen on the earth. You're gonna probably be feeling some vibes off this, folks. So if you next few days up to the next week, you may start feeling a little weird. Don't panic.
Oh yeah, exactly. And I'm like I said, I'm excited about it. I'm gonna sit outside and feel the feel. Like, do a whole lot of praying, do a little bit of fasting. I think I've told a lot of people I'm talking about. I'm just like, I'm going to fast that day, do a little bit of praying. Kat says, you know, Jesus is the victor. You know, so I had another weird, I would say it's a weird dream, but it was like one of those nights where you dream, then you wake up, and then you dream, and then you wake up and you dream, but it was always the same dream. So it was literally, it felt like a whole night of the same exact dream. And in the dream, God was like, I've been trying to tell you all along. And I'm like, well, I didn't understand what he was saying. He was like, do you remember signing your art as a kid? So just to let you guys know, the first art that I ever got into was drawing and painting. But when I was young, like 6, 7 years old, like I said, I didn't have a relationship with Christ until like 6 or 7 years ago. But I always believed in Christ and I always believed in God. I just didn't understand, you know, the importance of it. I thought believing was enough, you know, at that point. So that's what I'm saying is all my studies always believed in Jesus and God. That's why I never got into any of the stuff that I used to study and research. But I always signed my art with a solar eclipse. That was, I never, ever put my name on it because I said, when people see my art, and like I said, I was a kid. I said, when people see my art, I don't want them to see the person behind it. I want them to know that God was behind the art because all of my art's always been like super, super spiritual. So I always signed it with a lunar eclipse. Literally the first tattoo I ever got in my life was on the top upper of my back. It was a lunar eclipse or solar eclipse with Jesus lion, you know, representing, you know, Christ when he comes back down for judgment day within the eclipse, and a little tiny Gemini symbol at the end because I was born in May. So anyways, I started looking back at it and I was like, wait a minute. So I was trying to tell you all along. Well, here's the crazy part. So we got this eclipse that's coming up. And then when is Pentecost? Literally right at the beginning of Gemini of this year. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, what in the heck is going on? And I don't even know how to interpret that. I still don't. But nonetheless, like, and it could very well have been because of all the stuff that I was digging into before I tried to go to sleep as well. But dang.
I remember those nights.
Yeah.
Exactly. Early mornings.
Yeah, exactly. I've always been, you know me, man. I've been, as long as I've known both of you, I've been a night guy, going to bed at like 8 in the morning.
Yes, you have.
But yeah, so nonetheless, any of you guys that are, I'm not a dream interpreter whatsoever. If this makes any sense to anybody that can interpret dreams or something, reach out to me and let me know, because that is just crazy. And like I said, as God kept focusing when I tried to tell you all along, I don't know what that means. But nonetheless, I specifically saw the me getting that tattoo for the first time when I was 18 years old, literally the day I turned 18, I couldn't wait. Yeah. So nonetheless, this isn't a prophecy. This is nothing like that. It was just an interesting dream that I had last night that I thought I would share with you because it kind of fits into all this.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Cause it fits into all the weirdness. And like I said, is the art, and I forgot to send it to you. I'll send it to you later, Jeff. My art was that I've always done was very spiritual, always very spiritual. And all the different objects that I would have in my art would make up bigger objects. So if you were looking at it, you would see all the little things in the picture. But once you saw that those little things made up a bigger thing in the picture, you know, like all of my different drawings within the drawing make up a picture of Jesus. Once you saw the Jesus, you would never not see it again. But like I said, it was made up of all kinds of other things. So it was like a creative illusion. But every one of my paintings, drawings, or anything I've ever done have had the same exact thing. Even as I became an adult, I just carried it on. Never, ever signed it with my name. Because like I said, even with my art, I've always said I can't take credit for the art that I do. I always give credit to God, even as a kid at that point. Thank goodness that God, I was talking this about Tam last night, that God just works in our lives forever. Had patience with us, brings us to the point we are today, still having patience with us. Let's face it. God's still having to have some patience with us. We would love to be perfect. We make that effort, but I'm glad, man, because you know, the flesh of this earth gets really tough, man. And you know, it wants to bring you back in old habits. You know, sometimes we can break out of them, sometimes we can't. But, you know, the evil in this world is trying to do everything they can to keep us as far away from God as possible. And they will mess with you. They will mess with your family. We talk about this, you know, quite often. But so do you have any guys, you guys want to say anything else about that particular topic?
I'm interested in wondering, you know, because knowing the enemy, the evil's playbook, you know, they run by numbers, and I'm interested in knowing what their 428 means to them and their 316 means to them, only because they're looking at from their point of view. I wish I had their playbook.
No, I know.
But,
and you know, and you bring up a good point too. Because really because so there's
is numerology part of the enemy?
See, I don't know, because I go back and forth on that. Like, I don't use numerology, but numbers are so significant in scripture, you can't deny that there's meaning behind them. Jeff has done a little digging and research, some pretty great stuff himself, finding these numerical connections within scripture. And I've always said, you know, we can read the Bible surfacely, but I feel like there's way more that we just can't process, that literally the words right in front of us, but you know, we know how to read things fleshly, surfacely, you know? But Jeff pointed out something earlier too, that kind of goes along with your saying is he said, I would love to reach out and see some of what the Hebrew or, you know, Jewish priests are saying from their perspective, you know, the theologians, the ones that completely understand all the numbers and all the math, because especially Kabbalah, Judaism, and so forth, they're really big into numbers. The whole geomantria, like, you know, they're really big into their numbers. And I'm curious, because you said something right perfectly, you know, I'd love to see what the evil people are looking at it from this perspective. And I started doing the same kind of, I wanted to go out and look. And obviously if they're winding up CERN and they're doing this NASA project, NASA means deception. It's got a serpent's tongue in its logo and all the operational things. They obviously know something is significant about this too, but we also have to remember one big important thing is no matter what side you're on, they're still going by the same great book that we're going by. Nobody in this entire world or earth knows scripture better than Satan himself. And they utilize that. They know the reality of it as well. So, you know, don't think for a second that they don't watch the Bible. They don't keep their eyes on scripture, because like I said, Satan knows scripture better than anybody on this earth.
Yeah. Well, and they have to, I mean, we already know they have certain numbers like 13, you know, 33, for whatever reasons, those numbers stick out to those guys. I don't know, but you can bet they look at scripture, whether they believe in our God or not, and they know enough about it to kind of counter it. Now I say them, but it's really Lucifer leading them in that direction. You know what I mean? But obviously they do. But that's a great point. I hadn't even thought about that, Stephen and Duncan. I mean, that would be very interesting to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously 128 means something to them. That's been pretty eye-opening here recently.
And I'm about to, if you mind, can I seg into what that means?
Sure.
All right. So there was a movie that came out we've talked about many times called Leave the World Behind. The Obamas won to produce this movie. So in this movie, 128 minutes into the movie, they show that big-ass ship again, that cargo ship that crashed into the shore. 128 minutes into the movie. Care to guess what time that cargo ship crashed into the Brooklyn Bridge? At 1:28 a.m. in the morning. So once again, those numbers absolutely and completely line up. Like I said, in the movie, 128 minutes into the movie, they show that cargo ship, and then 1:28 in the morning is when this ship crashed into the Brooklyn Bridge.
Symbolism.
Oh, yeah. So, and then if that doesn't even get crazy, I found another weird connection into this, and I don't know where this lines into, but I'm gonna jump here in the queue for a second, because every now and then, like, it just seems more and more like a lot of what Q talked about is surfacing. It's starting to, like, all line up now in many, many, many ways, even down to the drops talking about the pedos going to jail and Epstein and all this other stuff. So I came across this today. For those of you in South Carolina, mystery as South Carolina discovers untouched secret bank account with $1.8 billion in it, and nobody knows where it came from. This is Daily Mail reports came out today, okay? Remember that number, $1.8 billion. So then how does this line up? Francis Scott Key Bridge, U.S. Army vet speculates on what went wrong before the collapse. Where did that bridge collapse? It collapsed in Baltimore. I may have said Brooklyn or Baltimore, Maryland, all right? So how does that fit into anything Q said? Well, right here. It says Baltimore recorded $1.8 billion from Hussein's American Recovery and Reinvestment account. Follow the money, follow the family. That is the same exact amount of money that just appeared in that bank account in South Carolina. And it's then right here in that Q drop, it literally says Baltimore recorded $1.8 billion in Hussein's American Recovery and Reinvestment account. And then remember who was over in England just this weekend or this past week? Obama was over in England. Everybody's asking questions like, what was Obama doing over there in England? I'm wondering if he was given a go call for this, because we also figured out the lady that used to be CEO of that very exact shipping company just happened to die in her Tesla like a week and a half ago, who happened to be Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law, who at first they said she was drunk and backed her car up into the river. And then it got even crazier. And they subtly and quietly came out and said, there was some foul play behind this. And that didn't make much news at all. It's all over the place. You can find it, but it didn't get on. You know what I'm saying? They put out their talking point and then they brought in the truth like a couple of days later. So there was definitely something that went on there. Once again, you know, people are asking, was she trying to stop this from happening? And they ended up taking her out or what? But it just seems like everything. The name of the ship.
Ollie.
In the movie. Yeah, it was called Dolly. D-A-H-L-I or something.
No. Oh, I don't know about the movie, but ship in Baltimore was D-A-L-I.
In the movie, it was called like White Lion or something like that. Something Lion. Hmm. Which, White Lion, which had some biblical association as well. And I can't remember what it was, but there was a guy that did a deep dive into that and kind of brought it in with the name of that ship. Like I said, the Obama, man, they had their hands in everything. They just disappear already. Just disappear.
Yeah. But, you know, it falls back into what you guys were talking about a few minutes ago, a playbook.
Yes.
So if... You know, Q did drop that, and that had to have been a while back.
Yeah, this was the date for this one was July 28, 2019.
Okay, so 2019 that was dropped, and now it's just coming to fruition.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, we're talking like 5 or 6 year deltas.
I mean, you would have to think that there's a step by step kind of book somewhere that's these things are being done in the amount of time frame that they want them done in order for that drop to have taken place and to be truthful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's all kinds of speculations.
Literally they could be playing out a script. I don't know, man. I don't know. All I know is that I trust in God. I know God wins. So I don't stress myself out over it. I get interested and I go into these digs, but I don't get stressed out whatsoever.
Oh, ain't no need to.
You know, Matt.
Well, what's also interesting is all the talk about a black swan event.
Yes.
That too.
Yeah. Matter of fact, General Flynn and Ron Paul came out on the same day in two completely separate interviews and said the same exact thing about a black swan event.
Yeah.
You know.
Now I wonder if it's just going to be one event or if it's going to be just a long series of events.
It could go either way, but this, whatever this is going to be more devastating than anything. So, you know, and we were talking about this before the show, and I can't remember what episode it was, and I've got to go back and find my actual notes on this. But you guys remember before the Super Bowl, I noticed that a lot of things from 2020 were starting to repeat here in 2024. And one of the examples that I used was the two teams that made it into the Super Bowl were also the two teams that were in the 2020 Super Bowl, and the same team that won in 2020 also won in 2024, which were the Chiefs. Okay. So last night, the Dallas Stars ended up clinching their division. They've got like 9 games left and they've already clinched their division. In 2020, the Dallas Stars won the Stanley Cup. This was during COVID when nobody was in the stadium, so nobody really watched those games because it was just empty stadiums with hockey teams playing. But the Dallas Stars won that Stanley Cup. So if Dallas Stars end up moving on to the Stanley Cup this year and they end up winning, we're in some crazy time loop. Because, I mean, what are the odds of that happening, you know, over and over again, especially things that are repeating from one year to the other? And if that's the case, what also happened in 2020? We went into some major lockdowns. I'm sure you guys remember that. You know, one thing that I talked about to Tam last night was this time, you know, I would expect another lockdown of some sort, especially knowing that we're walking into an election that they cannot win, period. There's no way that I don't even think there's a way that they can cheat at this point in order to win, because so many people, everything they're doing is backfiring. So if we do a lockdown again this year, it won't be a contagion lockdown. It'll be like a civil unrest. A
catastrophe.
Lockdown. Yeah. Like civil unrest where military is involved and people are less likely to resist, because this time nobody would go along with a lockdown that had to do with the contagion.
Or some type of catastrophe where it's a major clismic, worldwide kind of event that, you know, of one of the volcanoes erupting or the whole chain of volcanoes through the Pacific Rim start going off.
Yeah.
Meteor storms, electrical, geo storms coming from the sun.
Oh yeah. Any number of things. You know, like you said, large earthquakes. And then remember too, if you go back and historically and you look at, the lunar eclipse that have taken place here in our country, that kind of mimic what we're going into right now, back in the 1800s, back in the 1700s, 40 days, once again, 40 days after the eclipse took place, there was like major earthquakes on a fault line. At that time it was Oklahoma, but it was so long ago that they didn't have censuses. They didn't have the things that they have now to know how many people died. There weren't big cities, so they couldn't really tell you the amount of devastation that it caused. But remember, you know, people were saying X marks the spot. I've seen that a couple of times tonight. Remember the totality, you know, the totality where they cross paths goes right over that little place called Little Egypt, in Illinois,
yeah,
which is right next to Missouri, which is right on top of like a major fault line. Like this is one of those fault lines that would affect other fault lines in our country as well. That also falls into that weird, okay, Christian Train says the Madrid fault line. I knew it was M something, the Madrid fault line is like right there dead center. You know, so, and then what gains my interest is that old map that they put out, that it's a U.S. Navy map of like when the floods come and so forth, and literally the Lake Michigan runs into the Mississippi River, which runs into the Ohio River, or the Missouri River, which kind of splits our country in half and then goes off another direction, kind of floods out Colorado. So it's an interesting placement, especially when you've seen that map before. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. Who knows what's going to come? I'm going to go back right here, what Christian in Training said. Does it really matter? If we end up there, we'll end up in a better place. I just summarized what he said. But, you know, pretty much what it comes down to, we'll be in a better place. But it was funny, when I was looking for this house, I was literally looking at that map going, I'm going to make sure that wherever I purchase land is going to be on the other side of where that river is.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I hate to cut it. I'm going to cut out of here, guys. My head's really acting up. I love you both. I hope you have a wonderful Easter. Everybody out there, I love you. I hope you have a wonderful Easter. And just remember what it's all about, okay?
Yep. Jesus first.
Absolutely. Exactly. I love you guys.
I love you, brother, man. Have a good one.
Love you too.
Get some rest, brother. And everyone's praying for you. So, So like I said, there's so much going on right now. And then we got all just the regular crazy news that's going on. Like, so you sent me something earlier. I'm going to go back, because actually someone brought it up. I believe it was a Matt Man said something about Obama reeks of Antichrist. I literally said that, I literally responded to a text that Steve sent me earlier with that. Like, oh man, at this point he may as well be the Antichrist. But he sent me this interesting thing. So, So CERN, which goes active on the 8th, it's been inactive for a long time. CERN's logo is three sixes. So it's a six, a six, and a six. And then right out in front of CERN is a statue of the goddess Shiva, which is the female altar to the male, which is the god of war. Am I correct? Or the goddess of war? Yeah, goddess of destruction or something like that. And it falls in, Matt says it falls into Apollolon, which is, you know, kind of falls into, you know, the Greek and the Roman and so forth aspects. They all have their, like, their same versions of it. Remember, Satan always has a counterfeit to Christ, everything, Antichrist, Christ, and so forth. So there's a picture of Newsweek magazine with Obama on the front of it, and it says, God of all things. This is the title of this Newsweek magazine. This is Obama, and he's standing there on one foot with one foot out and six arms, holding fire, money, military equipment, the world, and so forth, which is literally the same exact pose that the statue of Shiva is out in front of CERN. So,
yeah, I found that interesting. Even the CERN shape of the sixes could be construed as that same pose.
No, it 100% is. They definitely designed the CERN logo to mimic the six-armed Shiva.
Yep.
Oh, and thank you, Kitty, too, for putting that in there. Yes. She put what Shiva is, the god of destruction, god of time lord, of yogis, the cosmic dancer, patron of yoga, meditation, art master, of poison and medicine, the supreme being, a Shivaism, member of the Chimurti. So
she was a god of many different things. So what was the part you said, time lord?
Yeah, time lord. And what is CERN?
Yeah, so that's even more interesting now.
Yeah, exactly. So basically the Time Lord, because what they're doing for the most part is they got this thing called the Hadron Collider, which spins particles, I believe it's just shy of the speed of light, like just shy. So it doesn't hit speed of light, but it falls just shy. They're trying to build a bigger version of this where they could actually hit them at speed of light. So they crash protons into each other. And they're basically they open up dimensional portals is what, you know, a lot of people think they're doing, pulling demons and stuff through. So it would be fitting that, like, you know, that it falls into the Time Lord and the Goddess of Destruction. Because that's ultimately what they're trying to do. I came across something else today earlier as well that was pretty interesting, because this guy was saying that the Pope, not the Pope himself, as in the person, but the chair of the Pope fit into what the Antichrist could be. And I can't, because it says, you know, that his name would be 666, and, you know, or basically 666. And the title, the Latin title that the Pope actually goes by, and I cannot remember, wish I'd written it down. I had it saved, but it has been removed. Literally translates to 666. So this year, because, you know, the Pope always stands out and does his, like, Easter service from the window. They've canceled it this year. So he canceled
it. Have they ever canceled it?
I don't think they've ever canceled it, but they canceled it this year. He will not be doing his little speech from the window.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. I mean, you figured that at the very least they'd have, like, somebody just underneath them that would substitute for them, because it's a pretty major holiday. You know what I'm saying? It's like the holiday of holidays. I mean, you got the birth of Christ, but, like, as far as our lives go, there's nothing that has the impact and the significance of, you know, not necessarily Easter, the pagan aspect of it, but what we worship being Christ dying on that thing. Like I said, I think we all come to agreement that this isn't the correct day that it happened. But nonetheless, it's like we're taking these days and we're focusing on Jesus. Matter of fact, somebody said, you know, why do you celebrate that day? I'm like, well, you know, I can't think of a better, more appropriate time. You know, if they're using it for pagan service, you know, reasons, for us to come out and talk Jesus and pray on that day, like, what a better time to do it. Take our days back.
Yeah.
So then I came across, I said, go ahead.
I was going to say, take our days back, take back our different fruits, our different colors of the rainbow, you know, all the stuff that they're trying to take away from us.
Yeah, exactly. They're taking a lot away from us as well. This one right here was pretty cool too. And I didn't notice it. So there's a little bit of music to the background of this, but I'm going to read it as it goes. Actually, there is no music to this one. So let me go back in and go back in. It was moving too quick. All right. So Cherokees worshiped and still worship Yahweh, which is Jehovah. So this is interesting. This is a Cherokee Indian. So I'm going to go through what they used to call God and the relevance. This is, okay, thank you so much, man. Insidious, you were right there for me. Thank you. Vicarious Fili Dei. Those letters, when added up, equal 666. And thank you so much for that. It means Vicar of the Son of God in Latin. Those are the words that the popes actually go by, their title. And it says that the name would add up to, you know, 666 or 666. And that absolutely equals that number. And from where I saw this earlier, they were saying that it's not the Pope, as in Pope Francis or Pope Benedict specifically, it is the chair of the Pope. So whoever is sitting in that chair at the time. So once again, Cherokees worshiped and still worship Yahweh, which is Jehovah. So what names do they use? This is crazy. So the American Cherokee Indians worship the Supreme Being and they called it Yehovah. Yehowah, or Yehovah, so which is very similar to the Hebrew name of God, Yahweh, or Yehovah, Jehovah. The Cherokee Indians believe in one supreme being, the Creator, and have surprising connections to Christianity. I told you one of those significance a while back, an anthropologist went around and he started literally interviewing all these different tribes around our country of Native American tribes. And one thing they all had in common was talking about what they called the white spirit, which had holes in his hands and holes in his feet that had been mended. You know, so very similar to the scars or the stigmata marks or the scars that were on Christ in his hands and his legs. So they all talked about that. A white spirit that had holes that had in the hands and the feet that had been mended. To me, that sounds like Christ, but this is way after Christ was gone from the earth. So they were probably looking at a spirit, but nonetheless, interesting connection. So the American Cherokee Indians worship the Supreme Being, the Yahweh, the Yehovah, which is very similar, like I said, to the Hebrew name of God, of Yahweh. Now, Yahweh or Yehovah is the name of God in the Iroquoian and the Cherokee languages. So it's two different languages for the tribes. The Cherokee believed in Yahweh, the God of Hebrew, which is interesting as well. And then the Antiquities of the Cherokee Indians, a machine, a readable transcription says Yahweh is the Cherokee word for great spirit. The Cherokee believed that the Yehovah was a unity of three beings called the Elder Fires above. So now you've got a trinity as well in what they were talking about with a name that's very close to what we call our Heavenly Father as well by one of those names. One of the oldest names for the Cherokee is Enuiya, which means principal people of Yah or principal people of God. Next, it says Abba or Av is the word for father in Hebrew. Studying the Cherokee roots, they can be traced back to Avram, which is Abraham. So they literally use the words Abba and Avram, which means Abraham. And then what does Abraham mean? Father of a multitude. So, and that was pretty cool to come across. Like I said, there's so many different worldwide connections all over the place. And you just never would have thought Native Americans and so forth. But, you know, one thing is at least they were very honorable as far as the way that they worshiped and so forth. But the connections that I'm finding here, it's like the heavenly spirit went and visited all these tribes or something like that. Because like I said, if you go back and you look at their lore, the things that all these tribes have in common are the thing that we all have in common. Looks like a white spirit with mended hands and mended feet that had holes in them. Like, how crazy is that?
That's crazy. I would have never known that.
Yeah, I've
never even heard that.
No, it's one of the things that I came across today because I there was a book that I had read a while back and I cannot for the life of me remember the title of it. I'll make sure to find that and send it over. But it was all about that anthropologist that went around literally all the different tribes around America and he was just blown away at the one similarity that they all had from the West Coast to the East Coast. and that was that white spirit with the mended hands and the winded and the mended.
So they were Cherokee were southeast, right?
Yeah, Cherokee, southeast, kind of in Florida, up to North Carolina.
I wonder if it, you know, they had any influence from the Europeans that were coming over.
I, you know, and I'm sure they did. But then you have to think too, is how it spread all the way around the country. I mean, cause you got to think how long it took them to get from the East Coast over to the West Coast, not right. to mention spread out because the natives lived all over, like spread out everywhere. And they still had that same, you know, that's one thing that I wish that the book had gotten into, is how far back these stories went, you know, that these similar stories, like if they came around when once, you know, the white man came over here from Europe, or if these stories existed prior to that time. And that would be right. a pretty significant thing that he could have mentioned in that book that he didn't.
Yeah, I would be more interested in that, because then that gives a better reference. Because if it was like this handed down generational century type thing from way before the white settlers ever made it over here, then, you know, that would be amazing in itself, the power of God. And but to hear that, you know, gives me caution, wondering if it was white influence.
See, and like I said, that was one thing that that had crossed my mind. The only thing that really kind of made it more valid is the fact is that it was spread out so long. But I would have loved the stories. But Christian Training brings up something here as well, very similar to the Native Americans, the Scottish. They didn't keep written history necessarily. Everything right. was drawn, illuminations, or passed down verbally, because the British, the English were constantly destroying everything. So if you were going to pass on wisdom and knowledge to someone else, the only way that you could do it where it was safe would be passing it on from person to person to person to person, memorizing, understanding these stories, and then retelling them down the road, which is pretty much what the Native American tribes did as well, is that they passed everything down through story. And once you're going from a story to a story, you know, you lose track of the timing as to like what date this happened on. That's one thing about the Scots, is they've got an idea as to time. But the only reason they know the time is because different than the Native Americans, the Scottish had different cultures as it evolved. You know, so they had literally started off with like fairy lore. They had this group that was called the Tway de Genet, which was supposedly like fairies and sprites and all those mythical creatures. And then you had the Firbolgs, and then you had, you know, it kind of went on and on from different cultures to the Picts, to the Europeans, the Nords, and so forth in the area. So that was the only reason that Scottish history through stories can kind of be deducted as to what time it happened, only because of the culture at that time that was mentioned in the story.
What was that guy we had on the show a couple times? Dano Shark.
Snarkish Dano.
Yeah. I need to figure out how to get a hold of him again, because I'm finding some new stuff out about Antarctica.
After the show, I'll give you his phone number.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give you his phone number after the show. Yeah, we still keep in contact every now and then. I'd asked him to come on the show at one point. I don't like pre-recording shows. I like doing the shows live so I can be here with the chat, and the chat can be involved. And I couldn't ever get him to get where he had a time to where he could come on the show because of work. So it was always going to be a pre-recording, and I just prefer not to do that. But if you guys are on Twitter or True Social or any of that stuff, give Snarkish Dano a follow. You will not be disappointed, because this guy, he does some pretty phenomenal research. As a matter of fact, if you recall, the first time we had him on, I don't think he would even acknowledge being interested in religion, period, much less Christianity. The last time we had him on, Snarkish Dano, with S-N-A, Snark. But the last time we had him on, he had done such a deep dive into Antarctica that there were things that started to fall into Christian belief in ways to where he was literally looking into Christianity and Jesus at that point. And one of the big ones, if you remember, was the pyramid, the mountain-shaped the pyramid shaped mountain that is dead center of Antarctica, like literally dead center. And it's called the Tomb of the One. And inside of that, that pyramid shaped mountain is the one of two eternally active lava fields that never, ever stops. It is always an active lava field within that mountain of Antarctica. And then, like I said, it lies dead center of Antarctica. And on one side of it, on the coast, was a it was a Russian chapel, right? A Christian Russian chapel.
A Christian chapel.
And then there was another significant thing on the other side. Now the crazy part is that this is literally dead center of Antarctica, and there is an airstrip that's right there by the Tomb of the One. And you know, somebody's got to pay someone a lot of money to keep that airstrip clean. And it's not.
Well, you know what's funny is after the election, John Kerry flew there.
Yeah, exactly.
To that landing, that mountain and that strip.
And he left his Fitbit on. So you literally got to see him walking around it and then walking in it. And Kitty too, Karen, I am about to come your way in a second because that's where I'm walking right into what you just said. So one thing that he was saying is that and then remember the Pope went there right after. The Dark Pope. Mm-hmm. And then as he dug in and did more research, he found out that other than President Trump, every single president before they were inaugurated went to the Tomb of the One in Antarctica. So he started questioning why. Like, what is there? What significance is there that the Pope and the Black Pope and every elected leader in America and other countries and Kerry and so forth, like, why were they all there? Because if I'm not mistaken, Kerry, when did he go? Was it when Trump was elected or was it when Biden was elected?
No, when Trump was elected.
Okay, it was when Trump was elected. So he was an idiot and he left his...
Kerry was running.
That's right.
For a short time.
For a short time, I remember that. But yeah, he left his Fitbit on his arm and you could literally track his movement all around there. So he started digging in further and I'm going to go right there what Kitty 2 said. What it was his ultimate conclusion? He thinks that Lucifer or Satan was literally bound inside of the Tomb of the One and that they were either going there to do sacrifices, to pay homage, or to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once again, is it where is where would Satan be bound? He'd be bound in the pit of fire. And once again, is the one of two only eternally active lava flows in the entire world. And one of them, like I said, falls right there in the Tomb of the One. So there's got to be some significant reason that people are drawn to there. As well as, look, it's not easy for you or me. It's impossible for you and me to get out to Antarctica. There's all those treaties. They're not going to let you and me go there. And then much less... to get out in the middle of nowhere, you'd have to know someone, you'd have to have a plane access to it, and then there's somebody paying somebody to literally clean up the runway because it snows constantly right in there. So someone's got to keep that thing constantly clean. So what reason would those people be going out there? Like, to me, it makes as much significant. Anyways, I was looking up something the other day, and I wish Jeff was still here because there was some kind of, and I can't remember what it was called, but there was a time period of the devil, 1,000 years and so forth, being bound down there before he's released again. I can't recall the exact, there's an actual term for it in scripture. That, you know, so I don't know, but man, it's crazy. And they're obviously going there for some way. It's not like at the very least, man, maybe this is like a gate to hell or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting too, that the wealthiest of the people in the world, the Rothschilds and all them have spent multi-millions of dollars on expeditions to Antarctica.
Yes.
And they have plateaus and areas named after them.
Yeah, they do. As a matter of fact, the highest plateau, or no, it's the plateau of 666 degrees up.
Yeah. So
it's literally, it's literally at the elevation of 660 feet. It's a Rothschild owned area that was purchased specifically for that. And then you got to wonder, what are all the treaties about? What are they trying to keep us out of Antarctica for? Because if you go over there, even get close to it in a boat, you're getting chased off by military you know, planes and jets and stuff like that. And then this is the biggie right here. And I want you all to think about this for a second. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. And I'll ask you the same thing. We live in a world where no one can agree on anything. Our politicians are each other's throats nonstop. They want to go to war with each other. They're bickering back and forth. They're causing chaos and melee all over the place. But you can somehow get everybody, every country, every leader in the world to come together and agree on a treaty.
Yeah. You know, it's, that's, you know, to be at war, you know, the Cold War. So I never understood how we could be at a Cold War, but our astronauts are meeting up in space together.
Yeah.
And, or we do these exercises together in military. It's just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, look, especially right now, they're trying to convince you Russia, big enemy. I'd be a little skeptical as American flying up there to our space station and hanging out with the Ruskies. You know what I'm saying? If there was an issue, it's like, man, you got to think these guys are probably waiting for me to go to sleep to cut my oxygen off or something. But it, like I said, but like you just said, we're all up there hanging out and working together in the middle of whatever we're, you know, them trying to convince, you know, the world Russia's bad, America's good. Well, I don't like up, down, up is down, down is up.
Yeah, the other family that has, the other one I was trying to think of was Rockefeller. So Rockefeller and Rothschilds have areas in Antarctica named after them. It, of all the expeditions, all the money they spent and still spend to this day there.
Yes. You know, Jay Crest says ice wall. I'm in there with you as well with the ice wall. Certainly, definitely something to consider. You know, Suski says, remember the movie 2010 Space Odyssey. You guys remember that one, 2001, 2010, 2001, had the monolith, you know, the worship of the monolith. And remember, we have the monolith as a representation of the obelisk. What is an obelisk? The obelisk is the, Washington Memorial, which is, 440 feet above ground, 222 feet below ground, a total of 666 feet total. And there's three of these in the entire world, and they are, there's more of them, but the three main ones, the big ones, are at the Vatican. They're in, I believe, England. And then there's the one that we have here in the United States of America.
Yeah. The three territories, the banking of London area, which is a territory. It's not even owned or controlled by the citizens of England. And then just like our Washington, D.C., which isn't owned or controlled by us, and the Vatican, which is its own territory in the country of Italy, which isn't owned or controlled by the citizens of Italy.
Yep. And I always called this one, because the Holy See, I always called this the unholy trinity. You know, the trinity of the corporation, the bank, and the one that rules them all. You know, kind of like Lord of the Rings, just the ring that rules them all. So, you know, the Holy See is the one that has the most power, and there's also a biggie about that, too. So I don't know about London necessarily. I have to look into it. But remember, Washington, D.C., not a state. It is literally separate. If Washington, D.C. was to be invaded by a foreign country, it wouldn't be an aggression on our country because it's technically separate from the rest of the country. Vatican or Holy See is they're off limits to everything. There's no immunity. You can't go extraditing or anything from that area. They're basically off hands from anybody and any law enforcement agencies, world agencies, or anything like that. They're off. They can't be touched. They're kind of their own little private area that is a sanctuary. So I'm curious to know if London falls into that category, because that's the third part of what I call the unholy trinity. Or, you know, the bank, the corporation, and the one that runs them all. World religion. Yeah.
Sorry, I took us on a little side.
Oh, no, man. No, that's what I'm saying. That's what this show, that's what I love about getting on the show with you, is that we get to run down all these little rabbit holes. And we got like 5 minutes left in the show anyway. Man, that went by really quick.
Rabbit warrens. I like rabbit warrens, man. You get down in there and there's one tunnel going one way and one tunnel going another way. You never know where you're going to go.
Yeah, please don't throw me in the briar patch.
Oh, did you? You know, the other thing that we talked about real quick, how many people out there know what the longest river in America is?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I was actually meant to go there earlier. Does anybody know what the longest river in America is? In the United States. So Matt Mann
without
says,
looking, I Matt, Google now.
Yeah, Matt.
Because it's changed all of a sudden.
It has changed, and everybody is agreeing with what I thought it was and what you thought it was, the Mississippi River.
Now Google it.
Google it. It is not the Mississippi River anymore. Which is the crazy thing. We have always been taught that the Mississippi River was the longest one. It's the Missouri River, or was that Ohio
River? Yeah, Missouri River now by 1 mile.
All of a sudden. Yeah. So the Missouri, all of a sudden, is 1 mile longer than the Mississippi River. I was like mind blown when you told me that. And I went through and like you asked me to Google it and I looked it up. And you're 100% right, because everything that I was taught from elementary school, high school, and in college was that Mississippi was the longest river. So Matt Mann says, I have a theory on this. And he says, first, landscape changing, ? So he says, I have a theory the earth is getting bigger or stretching. Absolutely nothing.
That could be. Depends on the pole, the poles.
And that nothing would shock me any longer. If MSM Liars John was on here with us right now, he'd probably be agreeing with you on that one as well. I don't know any longer. Not like I said,
I just don't know because all these Mandela effects keep happening.
I know.
It's weird.
Over and over and over. Like every
time a CERN event happens, something changes.
Yeah, exactly. And they try to tell you, oh, you guys are just crazy. No. I remember there's certain things I remember specifically, and I don't even lead people on. I just ask them the question. They always end up saying the same thing that I said. I'm like, okay, so you remember it the same way that I do. Yes, CERN. They're messing with our time loops. And like I said, you'll know. And I'm telling you right now, as I said to Tam last night, remember this conversation. If the Dallas Stars win the Stanley Cup this year, I'm blaming it on CERN. And I'm happy about it. You guys know I love the Dallas Stars. But we're stuck in some weird time loop. 100%.
Well, I'm just going to say, I'm going to call it right now. If the Seattle Mariners finally win their first MLB championship, the world's going to end.
Jesus is coming back the next day. I will also add that if the Lions win the Super Bowl, I think that would fall right into the same category.
Exactly.
DJ Saul says, if it ain't CERN's fault, it's Trump's fault. Or Putin. You got to remember Putin. You got to throw him in there too, because they do like to blame everything on everybody.
Oh my God. Everything's Putin's fault now.
Yeah, everything's Putin's
fault. Trump and Putin.
Exactly. Well, brother, we are.
Putin's more on our side than his current administration, that's for sure.
You know, sadly, I'm at the point now, and I think many of us, we had a conversation about this one night. It's like, where do you go to be a safe place? And everybody's like, Russia. It's literally, when in the world in our lifetime did we think that Russia was going to be the place that we run to for safety if we're trying to leave America? Man, we are.
Well, you're just trying to kill all the Nazis in Ukraine. So
exactly. Well, we're out of time, so we're going to get into a little bit of prayer and get you guys on with your weekend. And I thank you, Matt. Matt said this episode was bomb. I love it when Steve comes on, and Steve always has an open invitation, 100%. Right up there with Jeff. You guys call me 10 minutes before the show, and I will be like, okay, come on, I'm changing the topic. So
I'm going to do some more research. I'm back, watching the news a little closer now, because there's a lot of concerning things happening. So
yeah, exactly. So we'll definitely be carrying this conversation. We get in touch with Snarkish, and you can talk him into coming on. Because when I talked to him before, our show was at 10:30. So things may have changed. We're at 9:00 now. So that may be more feasible for him. You certainly don't want to miss this. When Snarkish comes on, as well as Steve is going to hook me up with another person that he knows, who is the lady who was involved in that incident at Planet Fitness.
Yeah. And that happened in Fairbanks, Alaska up here. And she is standing her ground, standing strong and in her conviction. And she's an amazing lady. So,
yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to that. Like you said, you always just get the phenomenal guests, and I'm still looking over here at Black Dragon Radio, and I'd love to get you on this time. You let me know. You reach out to me at kiltthechristian@gmail.com. I'd love to get in your head and talk about it. You guys come on, talk about your shows. Like I said, our family's just getting bigger and bigger. We're so blessed to just get more people building up in this phenomenal family, just amazing people. I'm so grateful to be a part of this.
Well, you're doing amazing work, Duncan. I appreciate you always and love you like a brother.
Man, you are my brother, man. I love you so much. And you know, I'm here for you. And, like I said, you got an open end. So you just let me know, you do some digging and you're like, hey, we got to talk about this. I'll get you on.
Okay.
Awesome. So in the meantime, guys,
thank you everyone.
Let's do a quick little prayer and I'll get you guys out of here. So, everybody please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for another day. Thank you for all that you have blessed us with. Father, right now you are giving us so much peace in the middle of all this chaos. We could get so wound up in this, but Father, you are what is keeping us calm, because we know the one thing that matters in the end of it is that God wins. We have nothing to worry about. Being servants of you, having and building our faith and helping others find you, we are in your service every single day. And if you are with us, who can be against us? That is so well said in that scripture. It means so much more and more every single day. As the world tries to come after us, as our governments try to suppress this, and eventually we're going to understand what true persecution is. They are going to hate us like they hated you. And Father, that's a badge of honor. Even if we lose our lives in this battle, we're going to end up where we want to be anyways. But dear Lord, on the day that we leave this earth, let us be in service to you. Whether it's the time where we meet you in the sky, or if we just end our time is done individually right here on this earth, let us leave this earth serving you in any way that we can. Continue to speak to us, Father. Let us learn to listen a little bit better so that we can follow the missions that you are sending us on. Let us harness and become better acclimated with the skills that you have blessed us with for our entire lives, dear Lord. Before we knew who you were, you knew who we were. Before we accept you into our hearts, we were always in your heart. You had so much patience with us to get us to where we are today, and you still have so much patience in us, dear Lord, as we are battling all the flesh, all the temptations on this earth every single day, but we're becoming better. We're acknowledging our sins now. We are every day bettering ourselves. But sometimes, Father, we have our fallbacks, and we all do. But dear Lord, you are there to rise us out of that, to send someone into our lives, dear Lord, who help us lift us back up and get us right back onto that path, dear Lord, so that we are back on the missions that we need to be on. And Father, as easy as some things get in our lives, the closer we get to you, the more we serve you. Some things get very difficult in our lives, dear Lord, but you are always there to get us through it. You even take the pain, the turmoil, the tribulations that we're going through in our personal lives, and you use it to make us stronger, building us up, giving us a spiritual callus, dear Lord, so that we can handle more and more what the devil is throwing at us. And I thank you for that. But Father, keep the temptation and the evil out of our lives. Dear Lord, don't let them work in our families' lives either. Let our families that don't know you yet, dear Lord, start to listen. Let the seeds that we have been planting all these years, let them start to grow, dear Lord. We know that we're running out of time. We don't know when the time is. We do not know when you're coming back. And I know, Jesus, you don't either, but we should be ready for it. Dear Lord, if we are saved today, if we have you in our hearts today, we're already ahead of the game, dear Lord. We're ready for a pre-rapture, a post-trib rapture, a mid-trib rapture. We're ready for it to begin with, dear Lord. So let us continue to build our foundation every single day. Let us strengthen it every day. But dear Lord, also, after our houses are clean, let us go and help other people. Not through our words, but through the fruits that we bear. Let them see the love that we have. Let them see you within our hearts and our soul, and be inspired that way to start seeking something for themselves. Let them understand, dear Lord, that the love that we have for you and the love that you have for us is all that we need. And by having that in our lives, dear Lord, we will always be blessed with what we need. Not necessarily what we want, but what we need. And Father, we often think we know what we need, but you are the one that truly knows what we need. So when we pray and you answer our prayers, let us recognize that, dear Lord. Sometimes that we don't, because we're looking at the prayer to be answered in the way that we were seeking, but you always answer the prayer in the way that we need in our lives, because nobody knows what we need better than you do. We are our own biggest problems, dear Lord. We are trouble. You are the wisdom that are in our lives, dear Lord. You allow us to take the knowledge that we have right here on this earth and use it for good instead of bad. So, dear Lord, let us become wiser every day. I ask that you give us discernment more and more every day so we can see through the deception of this world, dear Lord, and help others see it as well. Let us not get caught in ego, dear Lord. Let us humble ourselves more and more every single day, not being selfish, but being selfless. Let's realize that helping another is helping ourselves, and harming another is ultimately harming ourselves. So let us continue to pray and love our enemies, not what they do, but them themselves, dear Lord, as children of God, and pray that one day they will open up their hearts, find you, accept you into their heart, and become warriors right along with us, possibly some of better warriors than we are, dear Lord. But this isn't about who's the leader, who's charging this group, who is running out and spreading the gospel the most. Dear Lord, we are all on equal standing. There's only one general, there's only one king in this army, and that is you. So let us never forget that, dear Lord, and just be thankful that you let us be alive today at this moment to be part of this great war, this great awakening, this great revival that we are walking into. We love you with all of our hearts, dear Lord. I ask, dear Lord, that you continue to bless Steve Cusick as he's going to be going through some surgery tomorrow. Please be with Penny, be with Steve. Help them through this flawlessly. Help him get back on his feet, dear Lord. Turn his toes back to pink, as Jay Woo said earlier. Just bless him in amazing ways. Let both of them know how much we love them and how we are thankful to have them as part of our family. But Father, we love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So once again, Steve, brother, I love you so much. I am just very thankful that you joined us this evening. Everybody really enjoyed this conversation, as I always do as well. I hope you have an absolutely blessed weekend. And please, please give Purple Patriot our love.
I will. And I feel blessed that Jeff was able to jump on.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He wasn't going to miss this. And he's like, even if I pop in for 5 minutes, I want to come in and say hi.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate it, and I look forward to – I'll get in touch with you, and I'll reach out to my friend.
All right, that sounds amazing, man, and I look forward to it as well. All of you out here, I love y'all very, very much. You guys are an absolute blessing. We're all on the same side. We're on the same mission. That's for our Heavenly Father, and I couldn't ask for a better family, and I'm just thankful that you allowed me to be part of your family. You guys are absolutely amazing. I hope you have an absolutely beautiful rest of your Good Friday, and you have a brilliant Easter. There's no greater time than when the sacrifice came so that we had that chance, that one chance to get into heaven, and that is through the blood of the Lamb. That is through our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. Things are going to get better. They're going to get chaotic, but we know how this ends. So while some people are freaking out in this world, we're going to be calm. One of our missions, other than prayer, going forward, other than helping those people find God, other than spreading that gospel from nation to nation, is calming people down during these times. Let our calmness be contagious to the others. There's going to be a great awakening. It's coming soon. God's given us another chance that we absolutely don't deserve. So let's utilize this time. Let's utilize every time from now to the eclipse and then the 40 days after to spread that word. All hands on deck. Guys, I love you very, very much. Have an absolutely beautiful weekend. I will see you again on Monday night for Kilted Christian, episode 574. In the meantime, I leave you with this.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet o'er the land of the free, in the home of the brave.
it is done. He has risen. Guys, never forget, God wins. So fear not, stress not, let go of all of your anxiety. We're going to get to this just fine. Just pray, 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 pray more than you ever have. Do not cease. Continue to pray for Steve Cusick as he goes through his little surgery this weekend. I know he's going to get through it just fine because God needs him back in this battle. But guys, remember, God has sent us all on the missions. He's going to give us everything that we need to get through this time. We just need to continue this mission, be here for one another, unify, not divide. Guys, I love you all very, very much. I hope you have an absolutely beautiful weekend. Enjoy your Easter. Spend the time with family. Spend time thanking Jesus for what he has given us. Guys, I love you all with all of my heart. Have an absolutely beautiful evening and weekend, and God bless.